Welcome to the Man Cave Podcast with Dan Casper.
It is time for Outdoor Tidbits. Let's bring him on in, Mr. Jake Bopes from the Wisconsin DNR. Jake, how you doing on this Thursday morning?
It is a good morning.
Gone.
Busy morning, but it's sunny and can't complain.
All right. I can't complain too much over here either. Let's got a few questions to hit up here. First off, Jake, I saw this the other day on Facebook from the Eau Claire Parks Rec and Forestry Department. It was a post that said, in preparation for the fishing opener, the Wisconsin DNR has stocked the rod and gun park with 500 rainbow trout. They should be well acclimated to the ponds and hungry by opening day. Anglers are encouraged to catch and take the fish home with them to eat. The daily bag limit is 5 trout and no minimum size limit. But they also need you also need something else besides just a fishing license, right, Jake?
Yeah, so because they're trout, you have to have an inland trout stamp. So there's two different trout stamps. There's a Great Lakes trout stamp and an inland. So just as they sound, the Great Lakes is good for the Great Lakes and any exterior water where when you're on the when you're inland on any stream, creek, pond, lake, and fish and trout, you got to have that inland trout stamp. I'm pretty sure it's still $10, so it's $10 on top of your fishing license. And when you're targeting them, you have to have it. So if you're fishing the Chippewa and you accidentally catch a brown trout and you don't have a trout stamp, you're not in trouble. You just have to release the fish. But if you're out there targeting them, then you have to have the stamp. I always encourage people just to get them if you're in any waters that have trout, because if you have your stamp and you catch a legal one, then you can keep it and you don't have to return it.
Mm-hmm. How did trout taste pretty good, too, if anybody...
Trout's delicious.
Oh, yeah.
I just had trout the other night. Oh, it was good.
Nice. Yeah. I like it.
Good. It's healthy for you, and they're quite a fight. I can't say I've ever fished the Rod and Gun Club on their stockfish, but if you go out and fish them, they're a heck of a fight.
Mm-hmm. I remember doing it as a kid. I think they still do in Medford, the Black River, stock them up with some trouts over there too. So
a lot of neat little trout streams around here too. That mm-hmm. if you can get on the land to get down to the trout streams, it's fun to watch them. You know, mm-hmm. they're not very deep, and you can see the trout.
Yep.
Yeah, it's pretty. It's a fun sport, that's for sure.
Got another one here, Jake. This was actually a little late one from last week, but we hit it up this week. Someone had texted in, my son just got a driver's license. Does he still need to go through boater safety and ATV class?
Yeah, it's a good question. We see that a lot when we're contacting people.
In traffic.
Apologize. When we are contacting people, sometimes people think, especially if you come from other states, as long as you have a driver's license, you're good to drive all the vehicles, the wreck vehicles in Wisconsin. But there are some rules. So every wreck vehicle, so ATVs, boats, snowmobile, off-highway motorcycles, you have to have a safety class associated with it. You can kind of consider it like a driver's license for that specific vehicle. But for like a boat and ATV, so for boat, if you're born after 1989, so after January 1st, 1989, every person that operates a boat has to have boating safety. And then for ATV, it's 1988. So every person born after January 1st, 1988 has to have 1980, has to have that safety certification. So you can do them online if you're older. It's like $25 or $30. You just do them online. It takes a few hours, and then you can get certified for those courses. But if you don't do it, it is a violation. It's like a $200-$300 ticket for not having your safety certification.
And a necessary certification. I know when we have farm progress days, farm technology days, to drive golf carts and ATVs around the grounds, you have to be certified. And they're like, why? Anybody can drive them. It's a flat place. I saw some of these people taking some of those classes driving these vehicles, and I wouldn't want them driving one of those things in an empty parking lot, let alone where there are a lot of people and other things. So those safety-required courses, they're worth it. And just because a kid's got a driver's license doesn't mean he knows how to drive an ATV. That's a whole, or a boat. Those are different.
Totally, 100%, I agree with you. And the other thing is, like, you know, once you get to a certain age, I don't know the exact age, but when you get old enough, you can do everything online. But you know, if you're older or if you're a parent, I really encourage people to try to get their kids into hands-on snowmobile courses, hands-on ATV, hands-on. They offer them. They're not as, like, frequent as, like, hunter safety classes, but they're offered. Sometimes you just might have to drive to a different county or so. But, you know, it really helps put the importance of the safety, because anyone can do something online for a few hours and just be like, okay, I did it. They kind of, they're watching TV while they do it. But if you go there and you see how, you know, how important it is to drive safe and not roll your ATV and wear a helmet, you know, it might give them a little bit more respect when they're on the trails, but it also might save their life and really hammer at home the importance of being safe.
Jake, is there a minimum age for that, or is it just kind of, you know, just use your best judgment?
There used to be minimum ages for everything, but a lot of the age requirements and stuff got removed. I think a lot of safety instructors generally like to have the kids to be at least 10 years old. Cause that seems to be a kind of the ninth age where you're still young, but you're not too young where you don't really understand what's going on. And you can handle a machine and learn how to operate it, whether it's ATV, boat, snowmobile. But I've seen younger in there than 10. I've definitely seen older. A lot of times if you're a parent, it's just, you know, when do you think your son or daughter is ready? When are they mature enough to sit in a class and take it in, and when are they ready?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. I see people out in the rural area, especially little kids, 8, 9 years old. They'll jump on the four-wheeler and go down the field, and this just scares the bejeebies out of me to think about. Do they know how easy those things are to tip? And do they, you know, the training, the actual on-the-vehicle training, going on a computer is no substitute for actually on-the-wheel training.
Right. And that's, you know, that's a big push in the hunter safety world as well. And it's crazy how good some of, excuse me, got a frog in my throat. It's crazy how good some of those kids can be though, huh? When you're 8, 9, 7 years old driving those, but you're right. If you don't know the full gravity of it, or you're not wearing a helmet, you know, those helmets definitely save lives, whether you're on private property or a trail or what.
At that age, those kids don't know danger. That's the problem.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Hey, Jake, before we let you go, we got, Spring Turkey Youth Hunt begins this weekend, April 13th and the 14th. So any last minute tips, advice for all those kiddos going out there?
Yeah, for sure. Actually, a couple things. One, if you're the mentor, the parent, grandparent, friend, whatever, make sure everyone has their licenses. Unfortunately, once in a while, I get a call from a father or grandparent, whatever, that says they forgot to buy their kid a license, and now they got a turkey and no turkey license. So that stinks for the kid. You know, it's not their fault. But make sure you get your licenses. Make sure that you have your harvest authorization. So if you're a youth, it doesn't matter what period you have. You can use them this weekend. But once the weekend is over, you have to hunt, as you know, those youths have to hunt in that selected time period. So if you bought a bonus, like sixth season tag later in May, you have to wait till May to go back out again. You know, just because they're youth doesn't mean they get to jump in right away. So this is the special weekend. But have fun. It should be a nice weekend. You know, Cab K, it's always the same. You know, be safe. Identify your target. Make sure you're shooting at one turkey and there's not another gobbler standing behind it and you drop two of them, stuff like that. But make sure you got your licenses and make sure you're ready to go, and it should be a really good weekend for turkey hunting. With that, there is one change, just a recent change about a month ago, is in the hard copy regulations for this youth turkey hunt, it says something to the effect of, a youth isn't, you know, you can harvest as many turkeys as harvest authorizations you have. So you're entitled to one turkey per harvest authorization. They changed it. They did some housekeeping rules in the legislative world, and they changed it to say that, but then they added a second line that says all youth are entitled to one turkey during the youth turkey hunt. So that changed in the online regulations, but because hard copy, you can't change that. If you have a hard copy regulation, that's not going to show that. The wardens are using a lot of discretion this year, but every youth is entitled to one turkey, even if you have multiple tags or harvest authorizations. So one turkey per kid this weekend. That's it. which Jake, is a little bit of a change to the last couple of years.
Hey, Jake, talk to us before we let you go about the elk season. I just got a news release that the applications are open now for the 2024 elk season. It ends on May 31st. And some changes this year, it looks like. The Black River herd's coming into play.
Did they approve it at the board meeting the other night? I didn't see that yet.
New this year, the Black River Elk Range will be open to hunting for the first time since elk were reintroduced in the state. And that was, of course, back in about 1995 up at Clam Lake, 2015, in the Black River area. But, and so obviously you haven't seen this, but I was just wondering if that would be more permits are going to be issued than just the, what, 3 to 4 that they've given out traditionally, and, you know, what this may involve.
So I've been waiting to find out the details on it. So I was hearing some swirlings that we're pretty likely to have a Jackson County hunt this year, but I didn't hear any of the specifics yet on how it would shake out. What I'm thinking is that it'll probably be another separate, you know, you'll have the Clam Lake kegs, 10 up there, and you'll probably have 10 down here for Jackson County.
Wow.
And it's probably going to be the same. It's probably going to be the same distribution where half of them go to the tribes, and then 4 of them go to state residents, and then the other one goes to the Rocky Mountain Elk Foundation for a drawing.
Right.
And
this news release says the state elk population is projected to reach over 500 animals after this year's calving season, 180 of which will be in the Black River herd. So I would hesitate to say that they have equal hunting opportunities in both herds, wouldn't you?
Yeah, you know, they each manage them biologically, like they're managing them the same but kind of different in the way, like, they look at their numbers and do what's appropriate. I know the Black River herd is doing really, really, really well. Like, their calving numbers are, like, 80%, and their survival rates are really high. So I think they're just trying to get more opportunity out there.
All right. Well, we'll give you an assignment to follow up on that and get all the details for us for next time, because May 31st is the deadline.
Yeah, and I did see the zone. The zone is like all of Jackson County. It doesn't extend into Trempealeau or Eau Claire, but part of the zone does extend into Clark, Juneau, and Monroe, just ever so barely. But they really focus the zone in the elk area right there in Jackson County.
So,
but yeah, I'll try to find some of those specific details on how it's going to be laid out. Though I think they're still working through those, and the NRB was going to approve or deny or whatever was going to go with the numbers on Wednesday or last night.
So with that, I mean, I've got some in-laws that have some property down there. Can you make sure to push my application through the process?
Well, I know. That would be awesome. I applied for the first elk tag, but then I always figured kind of like, I don't know if it would look great if a DNR employee got an elk tag, so I figured they'd see my name and probably spin the balls again or whatever, so I haven't put it back in again. But that would be really neat to have a hometown elk, you know?
Yep.
It's something to see those elk roaming around in Wisconsin, that's for sure. I've seen them once in the Jackson County area, and wow, you sit there and just watch them go across the road, just flow across the road. It's something to see.
Absolutely.
It is. It's crazy how big. You see them in person, and you're like, oh, you know what an elk looks like, but then you're in your vehicle next to one, or you see one coming through the woods when you're hunting, and you're like, oh, my goodness.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's an elk, you know.
Yep. All right.
They're not pets. Like, a lot of people go to the national parks and go out and take pictures of wild bison and things, so.
Not like that around here.
No.
They're not acclimated to us that much yet. Luckily, Jackson County's got all that county forest land and the state land, and they can be wild elk down there, which is pretty neat.
Jake, I know we kept you a little long this morning, but we thank you for answering our questions this morning. Be safe out there, and you're going to be in studio next week, so that'll be good
in
to catch up with.
In studio next week. We just started our hiring process today, so we can talk about that next week. I got a few other things we can talk about with some recent law changes, so it should be a good time.
Awesome.
What's the status of fires with the moisture we've had? Still don't do it?
There's opportunity for getting burning permits and such.
Okay.
It's not like an all-out ban.
All right.
But You definitely have to follow the state and the town's permits, and you got to get those permits. I've been seeing a lot of people burning without them, and I've seen some tickets coming across my desk from the foresters.
How big a fine? How big a fine is that?
It depends on a little bit of everything, but it usually starts around $250 to $300 at a minimum.
Oh boy!
So get those free permits or cheap permits.
Mm-hmm. All right, Jake. We appreciate it, buddy, and you have a good week. And we'll catch you next week. Okay, bud.
Yes. See you guys next week. Thanks, guys.
You got it. There you go. There's Jake Boakes, Wisconsin Conservation Warden.